Well, good morning, Glenkirk community. It is a pleasure to be with you all. Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful to stand with you all. And group hug, I wish you were here, but group hug over the screen. So God bless you all. Thank you again for having me. And I'm excited to go forth. Before we get started, I want to acknowledge your pastor, Pastor Tim Peck. He's been a dear brother to me. Over the years, he's been someone who I could look to always have some wise counsel, to offer some wise advice. I remember I used to go to his office just to hear what he had to say. I didn't really have anything I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to hear him. And I appreciate the wisdom he's instilled over the years. He's been with me from day one, really, in this ministry thing. I remember when I was preaching my first sermon at APU to the largest crowd I've ever preached to, and he was a mentor to me through that process, and it was so refreshing. And to now, these years later, to be together again, I'm so grateful to fellowship with you all and with him. So God bless your pastor. Thank you for that. And again, I consider you all family from afar. You aren't here, but when I came into the church house, I felt like, oh, this felt like home. So I look forward to at some point hugging you, shaking hands, elbow, whatever we find appropriate during that time. But thank God for being here, and let us go to his word today. Before we jump into the word, I just want to say, state the obvious, I am a black preacher, so I love a good amen. I love a good preacher. I've noticed in some of my mixed settings and in some of my traditional white settings that my brothers and sisters in those settings, they tend to say things like, why am I saying that? If you're at home and you feel led by the Spirit to say amen, please do say amen. I'm going to believe that the divine Spirit will speak to me and I'll hear that amen. I'll feel that amen. But if you're also at home and you feel led to say, I can receive that as well. So whatever you do, you flow with me. Amen. I heard somebody say amen. I felt it. Let's dive into the word together. We'll be dealing with Matthew 22. Verses 36 through 40. I'm going to read the scripture and then we'll dive into prayer and then we'll get started. Scripture reads like this. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you and we thank you. God, in this season of ministry looking new, looking different, we stand in agreement, being confident that you are present. You are working and you are active. So, Lord, with that truth being in mind, would you speak? Would you move? Would you bless us as we gather in communities at home, as family, seeking you to learn from you, to hear you, to understand you? So, God, may I gout the way as you choose to flow. And may you use me well as a tool. It's in your name we pray. Thank God. And amen. Glenkirk, right before COVID-19 hit, right before everything hit, I was headed to the gas station one day. And on my way to the gas station, this gas station was relatively busy because it has the best prices in my neighborhood. I was pulling into a spot, and I saw a woman trying to get that same spot. She started backing into it, and as she started backing into it, I noticed she was about to hit the pole because she was trying so hard to get the spot from me. That she didn't see what she was doing. So I honked my horn trying to help her out. Honked my horn. She ignored me. I slammed on the horn again. I didn't have time to get out the car. I was trying to save her from running into this pole. She finally saw it and she moved. I park. I go over to her and I say, hey, ma'am, I wanted you to know I wasn't trying to get you out the way. I didn't want you to hit this pole. Unfortunately, she didn't see my perception. And she perceived it as I was just honking at her. So she began to cuss me out and to yell at me in the gas station and to go in on me. And she just kept going. She just kept going, cussing at me, yelling at me, saying, "You were trying to get that spot. How dare you hunk at me?" Today, the Holy Spirit was with me that day. It's not every day, but today the Holy Spirit was with me. So at a certain point, I just said, "God bless you, ma'am. I'm sorry you misread my actions. Have a great day." Now, if you're like me and you love God the way I do, you know that Holy Spirit can be, it can be on your nerves sometime. And I heard the voice of God say, "Go back over to her and love on her and show her my love." So I went back over and I said, "Ma'am, I would love to pay for your gas." She looked at me with shock. She looked at me just cold-faced. She said, "No, thank you. I don't need that." But now I'm on a roll. Now I feel the Holy Spirit pushing me. So I say, "Keep going." So then I go, "Ma'am, well, can I pump your gas at least?" She looked at me almost speechless and she gulped, not knowing what to say. And I said, "Ma'am, I have no problem doing this. I would love to." And she managed to whisper out, No, thank you. "No, thank you." And I said, "Well, ma'am, you have a blessed day." I looked at her daughter in the car and I waved at her as well. I share that story not to brag on myself. I've gotten this wrong plenty of times, I assure you of that. I share that story because loving God equates to loving his people. This morning, I want to deal with that, and I want to jump into that. Jesus, he finds himself having a conversation with some of the people, the experts of the law. Your pastor, Pastor Tim Peck, talked about this in Vacation Bible School, those who were experts of the law. And they're trying to get him caught up in his words. They're trying to get him to mess up. They're doing their best to get him to get it wrong. And so they say to him, because they want to embarrass him, they say to him, "Which is the greatest commandment? Which is the greatest law?" Jesus answers. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Let us start here. This passage, it's known as the Shema. It's found in Deuteronomy 6, chapters 4 through 6, with instructions on verse 7, 8, and 9. And every day, Jewish community, they arise, traditional Jews, that is, they arise. They cover their eyes. And they recite these words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these commandments I am giving you in your heart." And they conclude the day with the same practice. They block out all distractions, cover their eyes, and they recite these words again. These words are so important to this community because it reminds them, God is the one true God, and he's your God. And because of that, you are to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. I don't have time to get into those words, but they have powerful meanings behind them. And it says, it's reminded that since God is yours, love him with your all. Oh, I'm reminded of a song. A song comes to mind by a guy named Jason Mraz. And he had this song where he said, "I'm yours." And I'm going to sing a little bit of that right now for you all. And forgive me, I can't sing, but it's just so exciting. I get excited about the song. So if you know the chorus, join in with me while I sing the chorus. And if you don't judge me as I'm singing before you on screen right now. It simply says, "Oh, I won't hesitate. No more, no more, this cannot wait, I'm yours." That was my effort at singing. I assure you, your ministers of music can sing much better than me, and maybe next time I'll call them up for a song. The song, it demonstrates this idea of being committed to being loving someone, to being theirs. Jason Mraz, he was interviewed about this song, and they asked him what the context of this song was. And he simply said this. He said the song was mainly about giving oneself out of love to someone or to something. He said the themes that ring true in the lyrics are, number one, I'm ready to give myself to that person I fully love. I strive to encourage the one who loves me to embrace this moment with me and for us to partake in an experience of love. Glen Kirk Community, Jesus has the same idea in mind when he's speaking of these words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He's speaking of this idea of coming together to fully love God, for he is yours and you are his. Embracing each day as a moment, an opportunity to be practicing a loving relationship with God and accept the invitation to experience the world in relationship with God through love. Now, Glen Kirk, this could be enough. We could stop right there and focus on the idea of what it means to love God, to embrace an opportunity of loving God, and to experience the world in relationship with loving God. But Jesus, I love it. He doesn't just give you a dinner. He also gives you a dessert. So he keeps going. He says the second commandment, it's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. I got to go back to the context a little bit. In Jewish culture, what would happen is they would love those who were Jewish, those who practiced Jewish traditions, those who lived next door to them. Those were their neighbors. But they purposely ignored or disregarded anyone who wasn't a Jew. They found ways to disregard them, to show hatred towards them. Jesus, though, he comes in, he says, no, that's not what we do. He says, love your neighbor, love everyone, everyone, those who look like you and those who aren't like you. Eugene Peterson, he says it like this in the Message translation of 1 John 4, 20-21. Would you look at it with me? 1 John 4, verses 20-21. He says it like this. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. The two, I love it. I got me an amen. That fueled me. I'm feeling it. The two, to love God is to love his people. No, it's not enough to love those who live next door to you. It's not enough to love those who look like you. We've got to learn to love people who are completely different from us. Different racial backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds, different genders. We got to learn to love those people. That doesn't mean we always agree with them, but we learn to love them because they're all God's people. Wholehearted love for God means to in some measure, see other people and see God in them and learn to love that because they're the object of God's love. The conundrum that arises is this. We've got to learn to love our enemies. We've got to learn to love our enemies. We are a few weeks away from a voting season. We've had to learn to love the Trump voter, the Biden voter, the Green Party voter, and the Libertarian voter the exact same way. Doesn't mean we agree. I think we miss the conception of assuming that love equates to agreeing. We don't always have to agree, but we got to learn to love them. In a season of racial unrest that our society is navigating and dealing with, we've got to learn to love those who use the language of Black Lives Matter to the same degree of love that we offer to those who use the language of All Lives Matter. They each deserve love. The same love you would extend to yourself, are the kind of love we should be giving to others. The same love, it's the idea of showing concern or welfare for your own soul or body. And this is the kind of love we extend to others. We are called as Christians to do the hard work of loving all. Different views, different stances. Loving all. Now, how do we do this? What's this look like? How do we stand in this space of loving all? Reverend King, I don't call him Dr. King because I want to acknowledge his preaching credentials. Reverend Martin Luther King, he had a sermon that he preached in 1957 entitled Loving Thy Enemy. And when talking about God's love, he said this, powerful words. He said, this love is a different level because ultimately you love those who don't move like you. You love those you don't like. You love those who are distasteful to you. You love every man and woman because God loves him. Oh, Glenn Kirk, do you see it? God loves us all. And because God loves us all, and if it is true that God is love, then that means in every man and woman is a little bit of God. The believer, the non-believer, is a little bit of God in them because God loves them and God is of love. And we are called to love God, meaning we are called to love our neighbor. The Russian writer Leo Tolstoy makes it simple. He says, love those who hate you. Love those who hate you. And the reality is this. We at times as Christians have to be careful to avoid picking and choosing what parts of the Bible we want to follow. When we do this, we become like Thomas Jefferson. I know someone just said, what's he talking about? I'm glad you asked. If you go to the Museum of the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C., you'll find Thomas Jefferson's Bible on display. And if you look closely, you'll notice certain passages are missing. Story goes like this. One day, Jefferson was studying the Bible, and he said, you know what? There's just things about this Bible that I don't like. So he went and grabbed a knife, and he came back to the Bible, and he began to cut out pieces of the Bible that he didn't like. Cut them out, cut them out, cut them out. And when he finally got done, he said, this is a Bible I'm comfortable with. This is a Bible that I like. Brothers and sisters, we have to be careful that we don't expect the Bible to conform to what's comfortable to us, to what we like. The Word of God pushes us to be uncomfortable. It compels us to do hard work. You don't believe me? Look at Matthew 5, Jesus' greatest sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, one of my favorites. He says, love your enemies. Oh, my goodness. He says, pray for those who persecute you. He says, strive for perfection as your heavenly Father is perfect. He says, be a peacemaker. He says, don't insult your brother or sister. This is not a comfortable book, but it's meant to push us to Christ, to follow him. So as I begin my close, I conclude with another song. Y'all, I don't sing this much, but I just, this is what God gave me. See, I got to work with me here. All right, I remember growing up in children's church. And there was a song that we had to learn. They were called children's hymns. And it simply went like this. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not No, if not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Dude. Amen. And this song, it reiterates to us God's commands. Loving God equates to loving his people. The Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and later on your mind. It challenges us to fully give in to the idea of loving God with our all, embracing each day as an opportunity to partake with God in a loving relationship and learning to see the world in light of that loving relationship. And finally, we must learn to love God and all his creation. If God is love, then in all of us, believer and non-believer, exist a little bit of God. And may we as a Christian community strive to love that God that exists in all of us well. May we strive to get it right, to love it well. Friends, I'm reminded of a quote by a sister, theologian Lisa Fields. And she says this, until we understand that we were once enemies of God, we'll never understand why he commands us to love our enemies. The reality is this, Glenn Kirk. We were once enemies of God. We kept getting it wrong. We chose sin over God. And even in that space, he loved us enough to send his son to die for us. I'm compelled to believe if someone can love me that much while I'm their enemy, to the point of dying for me while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If someone could love me enough to love me in the season, in the midst of my sin, then I can go and do the same. I can go and love those who feel unlovable. I can go and extend God's heart to those who possess God's love in them and they may not even realize it. I've learned in life that loving God equates to loving his people. This is why even I'll say this and I'll close, and I know I said that once. I'm a preacher, give me a break. This is why I've learned, even on social media, I'm very careful with the things I put up, the things I post, because I don't want to trash someone so bad on social media instead of showing God's love to them. I want to be confident that those I agree with and those I disagree with, if I ever am to meet them in person, I can show them God's love. And the message that I carry reflects God's love. Whether I say it verbally or whether I put it on social media, it reflects God's love. I encourage you, Glenn Kirk community, to dance with God in a loving relationship of you loving him and loving his people. Those you like, those you don't like, those who move the way you move to the rhythm you move to, and those who have no rhythm. We all know a few of them. I encourage you to continue loving them. Join me as we pray to God. Oh, gracious Father, would you challenge your people to love like you? To love those who move them. To love those who don't. To love those who are lovable and to love those who are not so unlovable. Because every time we extend love to people, we extend a little more of God to them. Every time we extend love to people, we connect with the God inside of them. And that's how we learn to see you in our neighbors, God. By loving even when it's hard. God, mostly God, thank you that you saw fit to love me at my lowest, at my weakest, when I didn't deserve it. Thank you that you saw fit to love me. May I go and do the same. Thank you, God, that you saw fit to love my brothers and sisters of the Glenkirk community. May they go and do the same. In this season, God, where so much is trying to divide us and to separate us, may we go and love each other so that in that division, we love still and we unite under the common banner of Christ-like love. But this is the greatest commandment, and the second is just like it. So help us to love you well, God, and to love your people well. May my assignment be accomplished. May we go forth in love. And then we pray, thank God, and amen. God bless you, family. We're praying for you. Take care.